Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Across Europe, if you're caught speeding or committing certain driving offences, you might expect a fine and penalty points. But in some cases, there's another option, a driver awareness course. Now, these workshops allow motorists to avoid penalty points if they complete a session focused on road safety. Here in Ireland, the current programme for government includes a commitment to introduce re-education courses as a judicial sanction for road traffic offences as part of plans to improve road safety in Ireland. And while no official scheme exists yet, a number of private driver safety courses are already operating on an independent commercial basis. And our reporter Maura Fay has been looking into them. And Maura is here now. Hello, Maura.
Hi, Claire.
So who are these courses, the private ones? Who are they aimed at and how do they work?
So these are aimed at motorists who have committed offences such as speeding, dangerous or careless driving, driving under the influence or driving without insurance. These people are sometimes self-referred to courses or sometimes referred by solicitors or judges. The two most prominent driver awareness courses in Ireland are Pro Social Ireland and Drive Aware. Pro Social Ireland is based in Donegal and has been operating since 2012. It offers two-day in-person weekend courses held in group settings across the country and costs €250. Drive Aware was founded in 2019 by Sean O'Connor. It's delivered online and costs €500. I met with Sean O'Connor and he explained to me how this course works. It's held via Zoom in small group sessions. It begins with a conversation about each participant's background, the role of driving in their life, and the details of the offence and the circumstances to lead them to that behaviour. Sean then guides them through key aspects of road safety, including speeding, braking, mobile phone use, and pedestrian awareness. The goal is to create lasting behavioural change. Sean also prepares tailored court reports outlining the participant's offence. I asked him, what information do those reports contain?
Talks about my background. Obviously, you know, I was a magistrate in the UK, so I would have worked in the court system an awful lot. My background is in drugs and alcohol as well, so I make sure that that is a fundamental start of the report. So if it is going down to Offaly or down to Cork, they actually know the background of Drive Aware and my skill base as well. Their background is in there, who they are, what they do, the offence as well. But then obviously we look at the training outcomes, what we needed to achieve in that session when I'm working with them online. And then what I do then, this is very individual, I look at what I believe their learned outcomes were from engaging with DriveAware. Because obviously some people are very kind of, you know, enthusiastic. They really have a good degree of learning that they want to do. And then consequently, then I generally write an overall assessment on how I think Tom or Mary has done on the programme. So that report then would go to, obviously, themselves and go to their solicitor. And that would be then brought to the court on the date and, you know, sent in to the judge, you know, before the sitting or even the day before, so they can have a read through. Now, that's up to the judge how they perceive the reaction is into the report. But, like, you know, that's been very, very good and worked very, very well across the country now for just over 5 years.
And what about the people who take part in these courses then, Maura? What's their motivation for doing them?
I spoke to several people who've done the course. It was generally for very similar reasons. Concerns about possibly losing their driving licence, trying to understand what would be the likely outcome of their court case and wanting to represent themselves in the best possible light when they become before a judge. Now, a lot of them were reluctant to speak publicly about their cases. Some still have charges pending. But one person who did share their story with me is Jack from the Midlands. He was arrested for drunk driving last December. I asked him to explain to me what were the circumstances that led him to committing that offence.
I have no idea. I can't. Honest to God, I have absolutely no idea. I can't remember much of that night at all. I regret the decision to drink drive. I was 10 minutes away from my home and still made that decision. So, yeah.
And had you had much to drink that day? Like, what time did you start drinking at?
About 2 p.m. and I was arrested at 8:30 that evening. So, I don't know how much alcohol was consumed.
And do you know what your blood alcohol level was when you were arrested?
Yeah, it was 84 milligrams per 100 millilitres of breath, which was well over the limit, yeah.
When did the enormity of what you'd done hit you?
The next morning, I woke up at home in my bed and my partner came into the room and asked me if I had any idea what I'd done. And I replied that I hadn't the foggiest idea. And she explained to me that I'd been arrested, I'd been brought to the Garda station, I'd spent, I think, in total 10 hours there, and she had to be taken from work to come take me out of jail, more or less. Yeah.
What were your feelings when you had that realization of what you'd done?
A lot of feelings. Shame, absolutely gut-wrenching amount of shame. Fear. I didn't know what was going to happen. I'd never been in trouble before in my life. I'd never been inside a Garda station for anything more than, you know, a passport or something. I was terrified. On another hand, I was grateful then that nobody had been hurt. I was grateful for the lads in the bar that night that pulled me out of my car, that rang the guards. But it was mainly guilt and shame were the main feelings over the period of time.
And just to be clear, what exactly was it that those guys did?
They pulled me out of my car. And to be fair, they had to restrain me until the guards arrived. And they did, which couldn't have been easy for a member of the public to do. But they did. They kept me safe. They kept other people safe. And I'm eternally grateful for what they did for me.
So what happened then to Jack next?
So shortly after his arrest, Jack found Sean's course online, contacted him, and he completed the course over Christmas while waiting for his court date. He found the course extremely helpful and humanising. He says Sean made him feel like a person again at a time when he felt subhuman. Jack also said that the course helped him reflect on more than just drink driving. It changed his overall attitude to driving. For example, it made him more patient and safety conscious, even in everyday situations like being stuck behind a tractor. He described the experience as deeply impactful and said the lessons would stay with him for life. Some months later, he was in court and he told me how that process went for him.
So the court process took about 4 months, I think, in total. At the time, my partner was pregnant. We welcomed the birth of our first kid together. So it was adjourned for a couple of weeks. And I was sentenced to 3 years suspended license and was fined. That's how court went.
How has having a drunk driving conviction impacted on your life?
Massively, but not only my life, it affects my family's life more than mine. Granted, I'm off the road for 3 years, but it's other people around me that have to pick up the pieces and help me provide for my family. I can't do it to my full ability at the minute. So it's put my life on pause for 3 years and probably set me back about 5 or 6 years in total. So it's affected me an awful lot. Thankfully though, my job has been very supportive. Family have been incredible. Friends have been incredible. So I think the sentence so far has affected them more than it's affected me, unfortunately. And I suppose that's part of the sentence.
What's your relationship with alcohol like now?
I'm very happy to say I'm alcohol free since that day.
It's plain to see that this has had a very massive emotional toll on you. Like, what would be your thoughts, or what would you like to express to someone who, you know, thinks it's okay to pick up the car keys after a few drinks?
Don't do it. It's not worth it. I was out to exchange gifts with friends. It was supposed to be a celebration, and it's turned into 3 years of my life dependent on other people again. I've lost my freedom, I suppose, in a way. It's not worth it. There's no part of it that's worth it. And like I said, I'm grateful nobody got hurt. There was no major damage done, but even in that case, I still have to pay the penalty of being off the road. So it's not worth the risk.
Yeah, big implications for Jack there. And where are we currently at, Maura, with these types of courses being introduced on a more legal footing in Ireland?
At the minute, there are just discussions around speed awareness courses, not courses relation to drug or alcohol driving. Late last year, the Road Safety Authority announced it was proposing the introduction of speed awareness courses as an alternative to penalty points for speeding offenders between 2025 and 2027. The Department of Transport says it's currently examining how speed awareness courses might work and in what circumstances such courses could be used as part of a sanction for certain road offences, and that this will require detailed consideration of the legislative framework required to provide for such courses and extensive engagement with road safety partners such as the RSA, the Gardaí, the Department of Justice and the Court Service. I asked Sean O'Connor of DriveAware if he thought the broader introduction of speed awareness courses in Ireland would improve road safety here.
I think it was last December when the RSA were talking about the speed awareness courses, which is all over Europe, by the way. We're very well behind in relation to that, where you may get two or three points and you get one option of maybe sitting a class for a day and then consequently finding out about the dangers of speeding and so on and so forth. I think it would be a very, very, you know, important start to happen, you know, because consequently lots of people are getting points, getting a fine, but not really learning anything about their behaviour and the dangers of driving as well. Now, what I would say is that obviously there are more the serious driving offences like dangerous and careless driving, drink and drug driving, which I don't think, you know, that pro, you know, just a couple of days, you know, it can be fundamentally important. But I think certainly when it comes to drink and drugs, sometimes it's better to work on an individual basis because it's often very, very emotional and also kind of like very personal for that person. Because what I have found in the past is that, you know, a lot of people, unfortunately, you know, when I start engaging with them, it becomes very, very aware very, very quickly on that there is an underlying alcohol issue there, and consequently their addiction has led them to the offence. So I think for a speeding course, fantastic, but certainly, you know, more one-to-one engagement when it comes to drugs and alcohol and drink driving and drug driving, I think that's the best format.
Thank you very much for that, Maura. That's Sean O'Connor there from DriveAware.